And today we have a special speaker, and his name is Pastor Dave Holden, and he received Christ while he was in his 20s, and God has called him to preach this gospel, which he has done and done very well, and we are thankful to God that he has established 3 churches while he was in seminary and went on pastoring one of those church plants. We also thank God that Pastor Dave believes that you can start small. I think this should be an encouragement to someone, that you can start small and then grow big. Maybe somebody here feels that they are too small. The Bible says, do not be ignorant of days of small things. So if somebody is feeling they are small, we are telling you that God says, do not be ignorant of those days of humble beginning or small things, because one of these days you are growing big. And also Pastor Dave has been working closely with Pastor Rick Warren of the Saddleback Church. You can remember Purpose Driven Church, Purpose Driven Life. He has worked very closely with Pastor Rick Warren and has also been preaching and pastoring and teaching pastors in Africa, Europe, South America, and Japan, and even in the United States of America. He is also the global leading pastor of Living on the Edge and Chip Ingram Ministry, focusing on discipleship. He's also a family man. He received Christ in his 20s, but he's also a family man. He's married to his lovely wife, Raquel, and God has blessed them with 4 daughters and 2 sons. That is not all. Yeah? He also has been blessed with 6 grandchildren. Hallelujah. And he says he loves them very much. He will tell us more about those grandchildren, because he has said he loves them very much. But more importantly, a great commission statement about Pastor Dave Holden is that he loves the Church of Jesus Christ and the body of believers around the world. And for that, we bless the Lord for his life. Parklands Baptist Church, help me welcome Pastor Dave Holden. Hallelujah. Let us stretch our hands this way as we commit him to the Lord. Our Father and our God, we are blessed this morning that the entrance of your word brings light and understanding to the simple. Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would anoint your servant, Pastor Dave Holden, as he releases the word of truth. Let it find receptive ground and let it grow to maturity, to the bearing fruit in the lives of your people. Holy Spirit, we leave him now under your unctioning. Use him for the glory and for the honor of your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You can open your Bibles in Luke chapter 8. He'll be sharing from Luke chapter 8. And may you open your Bible there.
Yeah. Thank you, brother.
Good morning, everybody. I am so happy to be with you today. I'm happy to be in Kenya. I love Kenya. It feels like a second home to me. So thank you for being so warm and welcoming me. Now, I have to tell you something. I do not speak Swahili. I do not. But I have been given a Swahili name. Okay? Yeah. I have friends that have specially anointed me with this name. I think you know this, that in Kenya, there are 44 counties. Well, I traveled with 2 pastors throughout 41 different counties of Kenya. And I have seen this nation. One day, we were driving in the car. And I said, you know, I've seen the elephant. I've seen the zebra. I've seen a hippopotamus, but I've never seen the lion. I would love to see a lion. And they said, oh, wait, we're at the right spot. And they pulled the car over to the side of the road. They said, we know where we can find a lion. We'll show you a lion. So I said, okay, I thought about that. And they opened the door and I got out. And then when I got out, they closed the door behind me. They said, now, just walk over to that bush. There's a lion in that bush. I said, are you sure? They said, yeah, there's a lion in that bush. So I started walking and I said, are you coming with me? They said, no, we're not coming today. So I walked closer and closer. I said, I don't see a lion. They said, you have to call his name. So I said, Simba, Simba. Nothing happened. I looked back at the car. Everybody's laughing. They're laughing at me. And I walked back to the car. It was a big joke. They said, but listen, because you were so brave and you were willing to go find the lion, we are now going to give you a Swahili name and bless you. I said, wow. They said, so now bow down. And for your bravery, for approaching the lion, we have a name for you. Nyama Choma. If you, I'm going to take my tie off. If you have friends like that, you don't need any other kind of friend. I'll tell you that right now. I'm happy to be with you today. Do you know what? Our Christian faith is very special. We have a God who wants to speak to us. How many times in the scripture have you read, and God said, and God said? God is not silent. He is speaking all the time because God, our Father, is in relationship with us. And if you are going to have a relationship that is growing and rich and deep, you have to be in communication. It's like a family. If you didn't communicate at home, you wouldn't have much of a family. But our God has lots to say to you and me. Now, I know from time to time, my wife will speak to me. And when she does, sometimes I don't hear her. I'm sorry, I don't. And sometimes I don't understand what it is that she's saying. This is just a part of the problem of communication. But over the years, it becomes better and better, richer and richer. Ladies, am I right? Sometimes the men, we don't listen. Am I right? Yeah, okay. Men, I have to tell you something. This is very important. There are only two things that you must know to please the women in your life. But unfortunately, we don't know what those two things are. God speaks to us, and God loves us so much. I would say that it's easy to have communication problems with God. I don't know that if we went around the room today, we would say, how many times do you believe that God has actually spoken to you? Now, I'm not talking about out loud. I'm not talking about hearing it with your ear, but sensing it in your heart, feeling it, having a new thought that you've never had before, knowing something is happening here. God Himself is speaking to me. There's times in my life, you know, if my wife calls me on the telephone, I don't have to say, oh, by the way, who is this? I know her voice very well. Can you imagine, what if we could know the voice of God so very, very well? Have that intimacy. I'll say it one more time. Our Christian faith is a faith where God speaks to His people. He interacts with us all the time. But how many of us would really say, I have heard the voice of God? I don't know where the ideas come from. I, I sense it in my heart, but all of a sudden, something is different about me because God is communicating with me. What makes the difference? Well, the difference is attitude. It's our heart. It's how we receive that word. It's the preparation that we do in advance. It's the readiness of our heart to receive from the Lord. It makes all the difference in the world. You might say, why is it so important that God would communicate with me? Well, first thing is this. When God communicates to you as your father, this shows that you are a part of God's family. God is speaking to you because you are his child. You are not just a creature. You are not a part of it. You are a part of his creation, but you are different. You're special because you are his child. But there's another thing, that when God speaks to me, he uses his voice to protect me. I cannot tell you how many times I am almost getting myself in trouble. And God will speak to me sometimes with just one word. Don't. Stop. Watch. And all of a sudden, the voice of God is protecting me. But I also know that when God speaks to me, it's the way that he ensures my success in life. If God were to speak to you, you would know exactly what to do every minute. Listen to the voice of the Lord, and he will make your pathway straight. And that straight path is the pathway of success. It's important that we understand what is the best that God can give us, and he gives it through his word as he speaks to us. Now, Jesus once said this in Luke chapter 8, verse 8. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And this is how Jesus is going to introduce our text today. It's a very familiar text. You know it. It's the parable of the sower and the seed. Now, as Jesus says, get your ears on. Listen. He who has ears, let him hear. He begins to tell a story. Now, as we're listening, I want to remind you that in this room today, there are radio waves all around us right now. You cannot see them. There are television signals with pictures all around us, and we can't see those images until we tune ourselves to the right channel. When we are ready to receive, we get it all. The same is true with God. There's a receptiveness. There's a way of grooming our hearts so that you and I can hear the voice of God. Right now, we don't see it. We don't sense it, just like those radio waves. But God is speaking right now. He's in this room. And God wants to talk to you today through his word, through this message. Now, in Luke 8, Jesus begins to tell this story, and he says, this story, I believe, is all about mental attitude. It's how we receive from the Lord. When I used to hear this parable when I was young about the four soils, I would think to myself, wow, that represents four different kinds of people. There's someone with a hard heart. There's someone who takes root in the word of God and then dies away. There's some people who just won't listen, but then there's a good heart. I used to think that it was about people, but let me tell you, I think it's more about attitude. Because at any given time, on any day, you and I could have all four of those attitudes working in our heart. And how can we hear the voice of God if we're not tuned right and listening for him to speak? So Jesus says this. He starts in Luke chapter 8, and he says, let me tell you a story. He says, there was a farmer, and he went out to sow the seed. And as he went out, he scattered the seed far and wide. He was not planting the seeds one by one. Instead, the farmer would put his hand into a pouch, pull out a handful of seeds, and he would scatter. This was called broadcasting. Not narrow casting, but broadcasting. The seeds would go everywhere. And sometimes it would fall on the ground that had been richly prepared. But on other times, it would fall on soil that was not that receptive to that seed. And in this scripture, we learn that the farmer is God himself. The seed that he is broadcasting is the word of God, and the soil represents the human heart. Each and every day, you and I could have these attitudes at work within us. So just how do I hear the voice of God? And how can I listen to what God has to say to me? Well, there's four things we're going to talk about today. And if you're taking notes this morning, I'm going to try to be very clear with you. Here's the first of four points. Number one, I must cultivate an open mind. I want a mind that is open to God, receptive. I want to be ready. I want to be willing to receive from the Lord what he has for me. Some of us today, I heard so many first-time visitors here today. You know what? Welcome. And you're hearing this message and you're thinking, well, that's interesting. God may speak to me. And by the way, I'm not going to call you visitors today. Here at Parklands, I want to call you newcomers. Because a visitor will come and just visit. A newcomer comes and they stay because they are here. Yay, man. And I believe that you can find a beautiful church home here. So here we are, and if I were to ask any number of us, have you heard the voice of God? Has he spoken to you? Not in that audible voice, but do you know that God has moved you in your life? I wonder how many of us would say yes, and how many of us would say, well, I'm not so sure. Why is that? One of the possible reasons that we don't hear the voice of God is that we're just not open to the possibility of it. We think, oh, I don't know. I don't believe that that's going to happen. And if we say that, already that sets a standard in our heart and mind. It's impossible. How could it ever happen? It's very difficult for God to work through that kind of a wall or barrier that's put up. And if we have a closed mind, God will probably not get through to you. Now, this is the first type of soil that we're talking about today. It's the closed mind. It's the hard soil. In Luke chapter 8, verse 5, this is what it says. Some seed fell on the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. It was so hard that the seed only laid on the top, and it was so tempting that the birds came, and then the seed was gone. Verse 12. Those along the path are like people who hear, and then the devil comes along and takes away the word from their hearts so that they cannot believe and they will not be saved. On every farm where a farmer works, there was a footpath. It was quite narrow, and it would be trampled on every day. This is where the farmer would do his work. So as the soil became compacted, it becomes harder and harder and harder. One other thing about this kind of a footpath is that it's very narrow. So God says, look at this. Here is the hard ground. Here is the footpath. It is very, very narrow, and it is very, very hard. Let me ask you something. Do you know someone like that? They're very narrow-minded. They're very hard-hearted. How can the Word of God penetrate in that way? This is the condition of a heart that God is trying to communicate. The seed, the Word, has been broadcast, but it is not penetrating. It cannot put down roots. It doesn't even get through the surface. It's hard, compacted, no roots. And then the birds come along and they eat the seeds. That kind of closed-mindedness, I think Jesus is telling us today, that's for the birds. That's for the birds. It never has a chance to take root in a life. Now, this is true with us many of the times. God wants to speak to us, but he doesn't get through to us because we're closed off to that possibility. Maybe we think, I already know what I'm doing. I'm unwilling to listen. I don't want to hear God today. I know what I'm going to do with my family. I know exactly what I'm going to do with my business. I've already made my mind up. Why would I pray about it anyway? That is closed-mindedness. That is that narrow-mindedness that is very difficult for God's word to permeate and put down roots, because we've already decided what we're going to do in all of these situations of life. What is it that causes a closed mind? I think that there are three reasons for a closed mind: pride, fear, and bitterness. If these three elements are active in a life, you're going to have a very difficult time hearing the voice of God. Pride causes us to have a closed mind. Whenever I think, well, I don't need God. I don't need to hear from him. I can make these decisions on my own. I don't need God. I know what to say to my children, to my family. I know how to handle this. I know what I'm going to do in school. I don't need to pray about this. I know what I'm going to do in my marriage. I just don't need God here. I can handle it on my own. I can resolve it. I can solve it. And I have to say, when a person is that full of pride, God doesn't really speak. He can't get into me, into my heart, and say anything, because I've got it all figured out. So if I have pride in my heart, I'm not even going to open up. I'm not even going to pray about it. The second thing is fear. Sometimes we're afraid of what God might say to us. He might say, do you know what? I want you to stop doing that. We say, well, I'm not ready to give that sin up at this time. I don't really want to hear the voice of God on that matter. Sometimes what God will say, I want you to start doing something new. And we say, well, I'm not ready for that either. I don't know that I have the time. If I listen to God, he's going to interfere with my life. And I have a fear that I will be so changed, maybe I'll become like one of those Christian lunatics and run around saying, praise the Lord, all the time, every day. Says, I don't want that. I'm afraid of that. I don't want to be that kind of person. And then the third is bitterness. Whenever we are holding on to a hurt, whenever there is hate, bitterness, resentment residing in your heart, how can the Holy Spirit reside in a heart that's filled with hate? God is not going to penetrate that heart and invade your life in that way. That is ground that needs to be given up. And that is ground that needs to be given to God. I have to say this. Because we are alive on planet Earth today, you will know pain. You're going to have pain in your life. Lots of bad things can happen. There are people that are going to hurt you. Sometimes they are going to hurt you by accident, and sometimes people will hurt you on purpose. And that's the truth. But can I tell you, you're going to hurt people as well. This world is filled with hurt and pain. But what happens is we say, you know, I have a choice here. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to let go of it. I'm going to become a better person. Or we hold on to those resentments and we become a bitter person. And that bitterness always stops us from hearing the voice of God. Now, I have to say that God sometimes has that pain reflected back onto him. When a person hurts us, we say, how could a loving God let that happen? And we start blaming God. We build a wall. We hide from God. We put up barriers and obstacles so that we're not going to have to experience that pain ever again. And we say, no, I'm not going to let anybody into my life, not even God, because God allowed this pain to happen. When we start blaming God for the bad actions of other people, we're in trouble. As a result, we're going to have a closed mind. People who have been hurt deeply, they have a hard time opening up their minds and hearts to God. They've held on to so much. We need to let it go. Because when you have bitterness in your heart, it really only hurts you. Someone said that bitterness and unforgiveness in your life, it's as if you took a bottle of poison and you drank the whole bottle and then you wait for the person who hurt you to die. It's only going to hurt you. When you let go of that pain, when you let go of bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness in your heart, when you let go, you are the one who will be set free. Now, obviously, in a crowd of this size, there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of hurt. It could be family pain. It could be the pain of the loss of business. It could be the pain of failure, arguments, hurt. You might have been betrayed by a very, very close friend. Sometimes in a church situation, you can be around other believers and even other believers hurt you, and you put up your defenses and you say, I'm never going to be hurt again. If that's what Christianity is all about, no thanks, God. And we blame God for what other people have done. If you have been deeply hurt, just let me say, I understand. Everyone in this room understands. We've all been hurt. We've all faced pain. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you feel that pain. But can I tell you something? God knows your pain. He sees you. He will never allow the pain of your broken heart to go unnoticed. Someone said this, if you will take all of the broken pieces of your heart and put it into the hand of God, God will make your heart whole again. Do not run from God. Do not run from God. God might be speaking to you here today. Sometimes only when I say the word, who do you need to forgive? All of a sudden in your mind, all throughout this congregation, you already know and you have the picture of that face in your mind right now. Let that person go. Don't hold on to unforgiveness and resentment, bitterness. It only stops the communication between you and God. Let it go and you set yourself free. There's a second thing that I would say to you. When you are in pain, don't run from God. It seems like so many people, when they get hurt, they go, ah, I don't want any more of this God stuff. I have pain. No, you must run to God. Do not run from God. And God will take every hurt of your life. You know, God will never waste a hurt. If you have been hurt and you know pain in this life, God will take it. And through that pain, God might give you your most powerful ministry. But you've got to put everything into the hand of God. Don't run away from Him. He will heal you, love you, comfort you, draw you close. He will give you a new life and everything will be changed. And in a moment of crisis, He will never desert you. He will always be there for you. So turn to Him with that hurt. Don't close your heart. Don't get narrow-minded. Don't stop thinking about Him. The tragedy of that life that is a hard-beaten, calloused pathway. Hard. Narrow. God has a hard time speaking. Nothing grows there. The scripture says it's unfruitful. Listen to me. A bitter life is a wasted life, only left for the birds to come along and steal the seed away. There's nothing left. Number two, if I am going to hear the voice of God, look at what it says in James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, get rid of all the moral filth and all the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word. You, think about that word, accept. It's up to you. It's up to you. You are the one who's going to decide how deeply the word of God is going to penetrate your life. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Drop your defenses. Cultivate an open mind. And then now, number two, I must allocate time to listen. Because there's a new barrier that each of us has to deal with each and every day. And that's busyness and the hurry of life. Sometimes we think, oh, I want to get this done and I want to get it done quickly. I've got to make time each and every day if I'm going to hear the voice of God. We schedule every other thing in our life. We schedule our appointments, our homework. We schedule a trip to the dentist, but we don't schedule time with God. There's got to be a time each and every day that belongs to you and God. And believe me, God is waiting to talk to you. But you've got to make time for God. Don't get too busy. If you don't schedule time for God, God will only get the leftovers of your life. And that is the second reason why people don't hear the voice of God. It's hurry. We live in a rat race. We're always in a hurry. If I wanted to fly in a jet plane over Kenya, I would get over Kenya very rapidly. But I wouldn't know Kenya, and I wouldn't see Kenya very much. But if I got down on the ground and I took a bus, oh, that would be a little bit better. Maybe I get on a motorbike or a car, and I'm driving through Kenya. I see it clearer and clearer. It's a little bit slower than the plane, though. But if I really wanted to know Kenya and Kenya's people, I would go for a walk. And I would walk among the people. And I would take my time to see things and visit and understand. But it takes time. If you are always in a hurry, you're not going to be able to hear that voice of God in your life. So, you know, I even think about mail today. Express mail, you know, email. These computer guys, they sit down and in just a second, a letter can go out to thousands of people. If you had to deliver those letters, it would take days. That's why we call it snail mail. It's so slow. And we get irritated with these kinds of things. We live in a hurried lifestyle, and God gets shortchanged, cheated. He gets put back in the back of the line. God gets leftovers all the time from us. And we want to hear God speak. Yeah, but we say, hey, listen, God, I'm in a hurry. So tell me quickly. Do it quickly. I only have a minute. I'm running out the door. I've got a project and an assignment. Oh, God, speak to me, but do it right now. As a result, we miss what God has to say to us. Verse 6 of Luke 8. Other seed fell on shallow soil with rock beneath. This seed began to grow, but soon it withered and died for lack of moisture. He goes on, verse 13, and now we get the explanation. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe it for a while, but in the time of testing, then they fall away. It was the hardened path that represents the closed mind, the closed heart. But it's the shallow soil represents a superficial mind, a heart that is not going to go very deep with the word of God. You know, if we went to Israel today, we would see that the topsoil there is about 2 or 3 inches thick. But right under it is that limestone. There's rocks everywhere. So if you don't prepare that soil, that the little plant starts to grow, it puts down its roots, it hits that rock, and then when the sun comes out with no moisture, with no root, it just simply dies away. That's the way it is. He's saying this represents very shallow soil, a superficial type of hearer. He hears the word of God instantaneously. It sprouts with green growth. They're all excited for a moment, but it doesn't last. It goes away when the heat is on, when the problems of life come and we're moved. We might react emotionally. We might react impulsively, but we don't have the understanding to let the roots go down deep and let God's word dwell in you richly. Instead, we just have an emotional response. I cannot tell you, over the years, I've had so many people come up after a service out on a patio somewhere, and they're saying, "Oh, Pastor, that was so exciting," or "That was so wonderful," or "I was moved to tears," or "That really got me. It touched my heart." But then 2 or 3 months later, you could look at the same life and there's no life change. They're still living the same way. They got excited about the message, but they didn't do anything about it. They had a quiver in the liver, but that was about it. As a result, they're living a shallow, superficial life. They have no roots. When the heat is on, you just don't last. That's a problem that everybody has, even pastors. I remember once I went to a seminar, and the speaker was fantastic. I'm taking lots of notes. It's my habit. I love to take notes when someone is speaking about God. It's something that I can review and look at later and kind of dwell on it. And so I was taking notes, and all of a sudden I thought to myself, you know what? I need to make a change in my life. I wrote this down. I closed up the notebook, and then I lost the notebook. It wasn't until about 2 or 3 months later, I opened it up again, and I looked, and I saw what I had written. And I thought, wow, I haven't done one thing in that area. I forgot all about it. I got busy. I got hurried. Life was shuffling everything around. I was motivated and charged up, but somehow those notes, because they were misplaced, all of a sudden I took no action. I had already forgotten about those things that I was so excited about. Unless you are reviewing and retaining what God says to you, you're just kidding yourselves. How is it that people can come to church week after week, hearing the pastor speak? Pastor Ambrose, oh man, you have a great pastor. Yeah. How can you possibly listen every week and then you think about it and you go, is my life really changing? Am I being transformed? I'm going to tell you a secret. Take notes and review those notes. Think about it. And let it sink deeply into your heart. Now, the verse says the second kind of person, the superficial hearer, verse 13. They receive the word with joy. Think about that. That's pretty good. They're happy. They've got it. They receive the word with joy. But when they hear it, they don't have any roots. In other words, they're not retaining it. They don't know what the word is saying to them. They let go of it. They're thrilled, but they're not transformed. You need to write it down in a journal or a notebook, a pad of paper, something, so that you're taking that word with you and it's going deep down into your heart. Can I tell you something? In the USA, our Air Force did a study, and they found out that when you hear a message, you will forget 95% of that message in 72 hours. That's why we have Wednesday night service. It's just to kind of remind you what's going on. Now think about this. What if your pastor has preached for 30 years? 30 years. And you only remember 5% of all of the riches that is poured forth from God's word into your life. Some people take notes. You know, some people say, well, I've been a Christian for 27 years. You know what I would say? No, you've been a believer for 27 years, but you don't have 27 years of experience. You have 1 year of experience, and it's been repeated 27 times year after year after year. Why? Because we don't remember. God has a training school. And when you go to God's school and you get into trouble, He will get you out of that trouble. And if you learn your lesson, you step up and you're at a new level. You're living at a whole new level. If you don't get it, God repeats the lesson. He's a very stubborn school teacher. If you go to class, take notes. That's all I can say. Now I love the organization that I serve. It's called Living on the Edge. And my pastor, the founder, is named Chip Ingram. And our motto is this: helping Christians to live like Christians. And what I'm telling you today will help you to hear the voice of God. I've seen so many people get off to a great start in life. They're full of joy, but now you can't find them anywhere in the church. They started off with enthusiasm, and enthusiasm's not enough. It takes commitment. Commitment. That word discipleship. If you are a disciple, the word comes from the root. We get the same word, discipline. You have to have a disciplined life, a commitment that says, I'm going to review, I'm going to retain, I'm going to live this out. I'm going to get with other believers. I'm going to talk about it. This is going to become my life, the focal point of my heart. So this is the point. Allocate time to God. And then you're not superficial. Give God His time. Think about Him. It's not the amount of time. It's the discipline of regularly ordered time with God. You know, when I was young, we used to go to my aunt's house every Sunday afternoon. And my auntie, she was a great cook. You know how I could tell? Oh, she was big. She was big. And man, she could cook some delicious food. And I would get up from that table and I would say, I'll never eat again. I'll never eat again. Do you know what happened on Monday morning? Oh, I was hungry and I wanted breakfast. Can I tell you something? The same is true for your spiritual life. Some people say, well, I'm going to go to church on Sunday and I'm going to listen because the pastor has prepared a feast for me, a feast from the Word of God. Your pastor works hard to make a beautiful meal that fills you up. But can I tell you something? If you don't eat every day, you're going to be very, very sick. And if you do not eat from the Word of God every day, you are going to be very, very hungry, shallow, starving. God cannot talk to you. If you're too busy, slow down. Cultivate an open mind. Allocate the time to listen. Number three, I must eliminate the distractions. I must eliminate the distractions. A lot of times we miss hearing the voice of God because our mind is crowded out with other thoughts. Our mind is filled with the concerns of the day-to-day living. And when our minds are filled with that kind of noise and God is trying to speak to you, it gets drowned out because there's so much else going on. Many times God has wanted to talk to you, but all He gets is the busy signal. And He can't get through. Why? Because the phone's off the hook. You've got to make time. Get disciplined. Spend time with God. Verse 7, He says this: other seed fell among the thorns, or the weeds, which grew up with it and choked the plants. He said, they never reach maturity because they get strangled before they can actually grow up. Some people are living a strangled life because we're not hearing from God. We're not retaining it, keeping it inside of us. And then on verse 14, it says this: this seed that fell among the thorns stands or represents those who hear the word, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Listen, there's three categories there. Did you hear it? Worries, rich pleasures, and riches. Now, why is it that we allow our minds to be preoccupied with worry, pleasure, and riches. Those are the things that begin to choke out the Word of God dwelling in us richly. I know people that are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and they say, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Can I tell you something? You're not spending the time with God that you need to spend with God. God loves you. He created you. He didn't create you to have a life with no purpose and a life with no meaning. God knows you so well that if you are listening to His voice, you will know your purpose. You will know God's plan for you, and you will know God's destiny for your life. But you've got to cultivate that soil in your heart. Get ready to receive the word. Let it put down deep roots, and you will know what your life is now all about. You've got to spend time with God. We get distracted. We allow anything and everything to push God away and out of our lives. I used to have a sign that I put up in my office, and it said, "Beware of the barrenness of a busy life." You can get busy, and you can do so many things. But if you haven't chosen to do the right thing, to spend time with God, and let that word richly soak inside your soul, you haven't discovered why God put you here. You're not talking to Him. You're not letting Him talk to you. You've got to eliminate those distractions and make time for God. Jesus says that these distractions are like weeds. Here's the three examples. Number one, worries. They can distract you from God. You're worrying all the time. Did you realize you cannot pray and worry at the same time? If you worry so much that you can't pray, maybe we would pray so much that the worry goes away. If you do that, I tell you what, your life begins to change. The Greek word for worry, it literally means, it's a picture word, and it means you're being pulled apart. You're trying to go two directions at the same time. That's the Greek picture meaning of the word worry. So when we're pulled apart, part of us is going to the world, and part of us really wants to pay attention to God, but we're torn. That's where we get that idea. I'm just torn. I don't know the decision that I need to make. I can't hear God's voice when I get distracted. Number two, look at riches. Riches can be a weed in your life. You can be so busy making a living that you have no time to really make a life. We don't enjoy life. We just get up in the morning, go to work, you know, take a break in the middle of the day, go home, sleep, get up the next day, go back to work again. That's no kind of life. I read an article, and it was about a woman who was very, very wealthy. And for unknown reasons, she took her own life, suicide. And they were, the magazine article was covering her funeral. She was very, very wealthy. And someone in the crowd says, "I can't understand why she did this. She had so much to live for." And it was her son that stood up and he said, "No, it seemed like she had a lot to live for, but it was only she had a lot of money to live on." You don't find purpose in riches. Riches can crowd out your life and it pushes God to the side. And then the other weed that the Lord speaks of is pleasures. Now, there's nothing wrong with pleasure. God created pleasure. He made a beautiful world. He gave us five senses. We know the beauty of being together and enjoying good food, good friends, all of those things. But if those pleasures, if they become the total meaning of your life, the pursuit of pleasure, you've just pushed God aside. Think about vacations. I know people, they go on vacations and, you know, they'll take a week off and it'll be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It'll come to the weekend and they go, "Well, we're on vacation. Do you think we should go to church? Oh, no, don't go to church while you're on vacation. No. Well, what's that vacation all about? You're taking a vacation from God is what you're doing. How does that make any sense? The pursuit of pleasure will set God aside in your life. Now, let's talk about weeds for a minute. This is a very, very theological question. Okay, are you ready? Let's do some theology together. How much effort does it really take to grow weeds in your garden? How much? Nothing. It takes no effort at all. You know, here's the difference between a flower and a weed. When you are growing a flower, you have to cultivate it, fertilize it, watch what it's doing, protect it from the bugs, and then water it so the flower can just die. That's what happens. But when you're growing a weed, you don't have to do one thing. At my house, I think I am developing a weed museum. I've got every kind of weed known to man, and I didn't do one thing. It just starts growing. All I have to do is look at it. The same thing is true in your life. Those weeds are a sign of neglect. When weeds are growing in your life that are choking out the Word of God, it's because something has been neglected. Don't neglect your time with God. Don't neglect Sunday. Don't neglect the reading of the Word, the memorizing of the Word. Don't neglect gathering together in small groups and talking about that. If you will do that, that's gardening. And that's gardening for your soul. All of your sudden, your heart is filled with the richest of earth. And the roots of the Word of God go down deep and penetrate. Now, think about this. You remember Elijah, the prophet? Do you remember the story? He says, Elijah went out, and he sees this huge storm, and he was looking for God and hearing the voice. He wanted to hear the voice of God in the wind, but the voice of God was not in the wind. So then came an earthquake in power and shaking, and Elijah listened, and he wanted to hear the voice of God, but the voice of God was not there. And then there was a fire and tremendous destruction. And Elijah thought, now I'm going to hear the voice of God. But the voice was not there. But in the stillness, God spoke to Elijah with a whisper. If you're going to hear God whisper, you've got to get quiet. And you've got to have enough time to listen for his voice. And then God will speak to you. Can I tell you something? This is just my story. I don't think God's ever yelled at me in this lifetime. I don't think God is the kind of God that will yell at you. But God is always whispering. And God is always reaching for you. And God always wants to touch you with his truth. And that brings us to the final soil. The final attitude, number 4. I must cooperate with what he says. I must cooperate with what God says. This is that receptive mind. God will talk to people who decide in advance that they are going to do what God tells them to do. Listen again. If in your heart you have the attitude, you say, God, whatever it is and however you're going to speak to me, my answer to you is yes. If you will give me your word, you tell me to do this or that, think a different way, go a different direction, my answer to you is yes. Oh, I know of a church that has a beautiful choir. Oh, by the way, this church has a beautiful choir. Amen. And those musicians, they are real pros, I have to tell you. Well, at this church, just before the pastor would preach every week, the choir would come out And the choir director would begin leading them. And they would say, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Then he'd say, now, God, okay, you have our answer. Now tell us what to do. When you learn to give your heart to God in that way, God will speak to you. You say, God, I need you. Lead me into all wisdom. You see, this fourth soil is the receptive mind. It's the mind that says, God, whatever you have for me, I want to receive it. Verse 15 says, the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. They hear the word of God and retain it, and by persevering, produce a good crop. Listen to the qualities of a good heart. Ready? They hear God's word. They retain God's word. That means they've written it down somehow. They're reviewing it. They write it down, they listen, they think about it, they go over it, and the result is what? I'm going to be obedient, persistent, until I bear fruit. And God calls it a good crop. It is massive. It is huge. If you will live your life in this way, you will live that victorious life that every Christian wants to talk about, but this is the way to get there. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to make your life count? Would you like to live a productive, fulfilling, satisfying life? James 1:22. Don't just listen to the word and so deceive yourself. If you go and you're just listening, it's a deception. If you've ever gone to see a magic show or magicians, magicians, sometimes they call themselves illusionists. If I go to a magic show, he does it to trick me, to fool me. That's called an illusion. When someone else tricks you in life, that is an illusion. When you trick your own self, that's called delusion. And James says, don't be deluded. It's not enough just to sit and listen. You better engage yourself with the word of God and take it deeply into your heart. What would happen if I were to be able to put everybody's brain up on this big screen behind me? Everything that you're thinking about right now. For some of you, it would be pretty embarrassing. For others, it might be a blank screen. I don't know. But if I could look into your mind, what kind of soil would I find there? Listen to me. Every day, you and I can cycle through all of those four temperaments. It's not four people. It's four qualities of interest in the Word of God being active in your life. You could be narrow-minded. You could be closed off and hardened and say, God, I don't want to hear that right now. You could be shallow and you could say, nope, God, I got off to a good start, but I'm too busy. You could be superficial and say, that's just not important. I have other things to do to keep myself busy. Or we might take a look in our hearts sometime during the day and we'd say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to move your direction. I'm your man. I'm your woman. I'm your disciple. I'm your child. You speak to me. God, my ears are wide open. I've got my ears open. He who has ears, let him hear. So here's my final question of the day. What are you going to do about it? Today, at a certain point during this message, I'm sure it was a little different for everybody. But God spoke to you, and he said, this is an area of your life that I've been wanting you to take care of for a long time. Can I ask you again? What will you do? You best stir up your heart, cultivate it, get soft, fertilize it with the word of God, listen, retain it, take notes, and you will live a whole different life on a whole different level. Now you've heard it. You've heard the word. Do something about it, and don't waste this day. I want to pray for you now. Would you bow with me? Lord, you have told us what to do. You've said that you want to speak to us through your word. You want to guide us. Help us to have open minds, not closed minds. Help us to not be shallow-minded, but to really review and think about it and study and go over the things that we've learned. Share it with others. You've taught us so many different ways that we can learn. When you speak to us, help us to care enough to write it down. Otherwise, we're just going to forget it. Forgive us for having to learn the same lesson over and over again. Help us not to be distracted by good or secondary things that would keep us from spending time in your word and spending time listening to you and talking to you in prayer. But help us to have that open and willing heart to do what you want us to do. And today we pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
We can appreciate the Lord once again. What are you going to do about it? As we get to the end of this service, as our speaker was sharing this message, this statement that God is speaking to you because you are His child. You are not abandoned. You are God's child. And that's why He's speaking to you. Again, have a receptive mind. Don't be too busy. When God speaks, we must be quiet. And then we shall be able to hear Him. Let us retain this word. Let us hear God's word even with our hearts. Let our hearts be receptive. May the word of God that has been spoken this afternoon speak to your heart and cause your heart to be sensitive to His voice. Father, we thank you this afternoon that you've spoken so ably to each one of us. Our Lord, if there is any stubbornness in our hearts, if any of us has closed our hearts from you, closed our minds from you, oh God, would you open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to your word? Oh God, we pray that we shall not be too busy to listen. Help us to make our lives count. Help us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Lord, eliminate every distraction in our lives that causes us to lose focus, and help us to focus on you. Oh God, we pray that you'll remove every weed that chokes our lives and causes us not to hear you. Oh God, we pray that you give us a receptive heart. Remove the heart of stone and give us a heart that is receptive to you. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh God, that has been spoken this afternoon, cause us to grow and grow deeper and deeper with you. Father, we thank you and we bless you because you pray this, knowing that you answer prayer and you are ministering to us because you have prayed in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. And now as you go into the week, we want to release a blessing upon you. Maybe you may be up on your feet. as we release a blessing, because you have come into the house of the Lord this afternoon. May the Lord bless you on Monday. May the Lord bless you on Tuesday. May the Lord come through for you on Wednesday. May the Lord minister His grace upon you on Thursday. May you walk in the victory of the Lord on Friday. May you celebrate the goodness of the Lord on Saturday. And on Sunday, may you come back to testify about what the Lord has done. Yes, on Sunday is a day of testimony. I want you to say with me that on Sunday, is the day of the testimony. Is the day of the testimony. Because of what the Lord has done. Because of what the Lord has done. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make His face. Make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord show His grace upon you. May the Lord show His grace, His unmerited favor upon you. May the Lord turn His face towards you. If you're someone is feeling that the Lord's face has been turned against them, we are praying, may the Lord's face turn towards you. May the Lord give you peace. If you've lacked peace in the past week, we are declaring the wholeness of God this week, that the joy of the Lord will be your portion. And the peace of God goes before you. And the peace of God surrounds you. And His grace abundant in your life. Shalom to you. And have a blessed week ahead. Amen.